Jaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Desatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswate Ittinamine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Later this week in our Vaishnava calendar we'll be observing the appearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada.
那么按照我们外斯纳瓦的日历, 再过两天 就是我们的 Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada 的显现日。
Since he is our grand spiritual master, or great grand spiritual master for some of you, it's fitting that we offer our respects and homage to him.
因为 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 是我们的曾祖父辈, 所以我们在这里应该向他致以我们的礼赞, 致以我们的敬意。
There's a saying that the grandfather is even more kind and compassionate than the father.
据说爷爷比父亲更加充满怜悯之情，更加的和蔼可亲。
So you all look up to Srila Prabhupada, who's the primary Shiksha Guru for ISKCON.
我们特别敬仰我们的Srila Prabhupada, 把他视为我们 ISKCON 最主要的训示灵性导师 Shiksha Guru.
And his Shiksha and Diksha Guru is Bhakti Siddhanta.
而 Srila Prabhupada 的 Diksha Guru 和 Shiksha Guru 就是 Bhakti Siddhanta. 他的启迪灵性导师和训示灵性导师是 Bhakti Siddhanta.
All of what Prabhupada did and all of what Prabhupada said was the conduct and speech of a strict follower of his spiritual master.
须勒帕帕德所做的一切，须勒帕帕德所说的一切，都是严格的按照他的灵性导师的指导去做。
We're most accustomed to hearing and reading Srila Prabhupada.
我们大多数都非常的习惯去阅读须勒帕帕德的书籍。
We're now going to take a glimpse at some of the writings and teachings and life of Bhakti Siddhanta.
我们现在来稍微浏览一下是的 Bhakti Siddhanta 他所撰著的书籍以及 Bhakti Siddhanta 的教导。
As you see on the screen, the date of birth was February 6, 1874.
正如大家在荧幕上看到的, Bhakti Siddhanta 的出生日期是 1874年 2月6日。
He was one of the 10 children of Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Bhaktisiddhanta 是 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 的第10个孩子。
And he gave him the name Bimala Prasad.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur 把他起名为 Bimala Prasad.
He was born in Jagannath Puri.
Bhaktisiddhanta 是出生在 Jagannath Puri.
In Jagannath Puri, there's a system of distributing the Prasad, the remnants of items offered to Jagannath 56 times a day.
那么在 Jagannath Puri, 他们每天都有这样的一个程序,一个方式, 那就是每天给主 Jagannath 要供奉 56顿。
After everything is offered to Jagannath, the remnants of Jagannath are offered to Bimala Devi.
通常他们把这些食物供奉给主 Jagannath 之后, 就会把 主加格纳特的祭鱼供奉给 Bimala Devi.
Bimala is more often the term used for Durga or the consort of Lord Shiva, but actually Bhima and Jagannath temple is the internal potency of Krishna.
Bimala 这个字通常情况下是指的是、Shiva 的、Shiva 的伴女 Durga 女神，通常情况下这个词用的比较多，但是在 Jagannath Puri Bimala 指的是主的内在能量。
Many of you know the pastime of Krishna, where the young gopis, they were worshipping goddess Katyayani to have Krishna as husband.
在座的大多数都知道，在 Krishna 的逍遥时光当中， Vrindavan 的那些牧牛姑娘们，她们小的时候去崇拜 Katyayani 女神。
Conventionally, or people of this world know Katyayani as a name of Durga.
那么通常情况下在这个物质世界里的人们，他们认为 Katyayani 是指的是 Durga 女神。
But actually the gopis were worshipping the internal potency of Krishna, that Katyayani, the spiritual counterpart.
但实际上那些牧牛姑娘们，她们崇拜的是主的内在能量 Katyayani， 这个 Katyayani 是在灵性世界与 Durga 相对应的、这个神职。
This gives us some insight as to why Bhaktivinoda called his son Bimala Prasad。
那么这一段呢，就让我们能够更深入的去了解 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 为什么把他的这个儿子取名为 Bimala Prasad。
That which is offered to Lord Jagannath is then offered to Bimala, and one then receives Bimala Prasad, that's his son。
那就是将首先将食物在 Jagannath Puri 的时候，将食物首先供奉给主 Jagannath，然后把 Jagannath 的祭鱼供奉给 Bimala 女神，然后一个接受到供奉给、主 Bimala 女神的祭鱼的人被称为 Bimala Prasad， 所以他给他的儿子起名为 Bimala Prasad。
He lived in this world for nearly 53 years。
那么 Bhaktisiddhanta 在这个世界上、一共生活了将近53年。
And during his lifetime, he had many amazing achievements. We'll discuss.
那么在他有生之年， Bhaktisiddhanta 取得了巨大的成就。我们现在会来进行一些讨论。
Before he was born, his father Bhaktivinoda was praying to Krishna to send a ray of Vishnu so that the world could become uplifted by his spiritual strength.
在 Bhaktisiddhanta 降临于世之前， Bhaktivinoda Thakur 他的父亲曾向主 Vishnu 深深的祈祷，请求主 Vishnu 派来 Vishnu 的一束光来协助他去提升这个世界上的人们的知觉状态。
For this reason, Bhaktisiddhanta is often called a ray of Vishnu.
正是因为这个原因，所以 Bhaktisiddhanta 经常被称为 Vishnu 的一束光。
He was especially empowered soul to deliver Krishna's message to the world.
他尤其被 Krishna 赋予了 Krishna 的力量，去将至尊主的讯息传遍于全世界。
Just something a little on the personal side, my appreciation for Bhaktisiddhanta goes like this.
我现在来讲一段我个人对 Bhaktisiddhanta 的欣赏。
In 1969, I received my first Krishna conscious literature.
在1969年的时候，我第一次收到了关于 Krishna 的文献。
It was a Back to Godhead magazine that I received from.Burijan Prabhu, who went to the same college that I did.
我接受到的这一份第一份 Krishna 的文献就是回归守神杂志， 是我在1969年跟我就读于同一所学校的 Brigham Pub 从他那里得到的。
And that particular Back to Godhead magazine had a feature article called The Vedanta, Its Morphology and Ontology.
那么在这一份特别的回归守神杂志里呢，有一个特别有特点的一段论文，这个论文的名字叫做 Vedanta, 其形态论与存在论。
I had to look those words up in the dictionary. I didn't know what they meant.
当我阅读这份这个论文的时候，我是一边查着字典，一边读下来的，因为我当时都不知道这篇论文到底究竟讲的是什么。
It took me 3 full hours to read that article.
就这篇论文花了我4个小时阅读下来。
After reading it,I don't know how much I understood.
读完这篇论文之后，我甚至都不知道我到底理解了多少。
But one thing I did experience was my consciousness had been elevated to a place that I had never experienced before in my life just by reading the words of a pure devotee.
但是我的一个亲身的体验是，我的知觉被提升到了另一种境界当中，而这种感受是我以前从未有过的体验，只是通过阅读这样一位纯粹奉献者的这篇论文，我的知觉就得以提升了。
Before I even began chanting or reading Prabhupada's books, I was looking up to Bhaktisiddhanta as a very elevated and special personality in my life.
那么在我遇到是帕帕之前，在我去念诵加帕之前，我特别特别的敬仰是的 Bhaktisiddhanta 是非常非常崇高的纯粹的奉献者。
The lecture, or the essay was based on a lecture he gave on the appearance day of his father Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as you see below on the left.
而这篇论文呢，是基于他是在他的父亲 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 的显现日的写的一本册子。
Now this year 1933 was a very powerful year for his mission. We'll see more as we go along.
那1933年这一个年份对于他来说是非常非常特殊有力量的一年。我们待会儿在后面的讲述当中可以了解到。
You see that circle in the middle with some design inside?
我们可以看到在这本书当中中间有一个标识，有一个图片。
This is the logo of Gaudiya Math.
这是 Gaudiya Math 的标志，标识。
Just like ISKCON has a logo of a lotus petal with tilak in the middle.
就像是 ISKCON 有一个特定的一个标识，那就是这个 ISKCON 的特定的标识就是 tilak 和莲花足合在一起的这样的一个标识。
Here's the details of his logo.
这是 Gaudiya Math 的标识的一段详细的描述。
On the left side,is deity worship of Radha Krishna.
在这个标识的我们的左边是对 Radha Krishna 的崇拜。
On the right side is the pastimes of Radha Krishna.
而在右边呢，描述的是 Radha Krishna 的消时光的图片。
At the very top, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and side to his side are books, Bhagavatam.
在最上面是 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的图片，它的左右两边是经典的图片。
At the bottom left is paraphernalia for deity worship.
那么在正对着它的下方，那是神像崇拜的一些用品的图片。
At the bottom right is a mridanga and a printing press.
那么在我们的下方下面的右边，那是米当嘎，还有印刷社的图片。
You've heard Bhaktisiddhanta called a printing press, the Brihat Mridanga or Great Mridanga.
我们从 Bhaktisiddhanta 那里聆听到了印刷社是 Brihat Mridanga, 是大 Mridanga.
He said a Mridanga could be heard for a couple of blocks, but the Brihat Mridanga can be heard around the world.
Bhaktisiddhanta 曾经说过米当格鼓的声音能够传到几个街区以外的地方，但是印刷社的声音能够传遍到全世界，在 Brihat 的米当格能够传遍到全世界。
At the very bottom, in Bengali, it says Ragamarg, following Rupa Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught Raganuga Bhakti as the means of achieving.Krishna's association in the spiritual world.
那么在这个标识的最下正下方中间那是一个孟加拉文 Raganuga 也就是 主 Chaitanya 的追随者 Rupa 的追随者这是我们获得到达 Krishna 的主要的方式那么他教导的是 Raganuga 的教导
So now you have an idea of his mission.
现在我们对他的使命有了一个概念。
Now let's go to the childhood of Bhaktisiddhanta.
我们现在来讲述一下 Bhaktisiddhanta 的孩童时光。
One very celebrated event was something that took place when he was just 3 years old. Think of a child that is 3 years old.
我们现在来想一想在 Bhaktisiddhanta 三岁大的时候有一段著名的事情发生在他三岁大的时候。
In Bengal, during mango season, mangoes are very, very, very nice because they ripen on the tree and they're very sweet.
在孟加拉在芒果季节的时候树上结的芒果可甜了。在孟加拉盛产芒果。
As a little boy, he saw a mango that was not yet offered to the deity, and he ate the mango.
在他三岁大的时候，他一看到了成熟的芒果，他就想吃，但是呢，这个芒果还没有供奉给神像，他就想吃了。
His father came to know he ate a mango before it was offered.
然后他的父亲知道了他还在没有供奉给神像之前他就吃了这个芒果这件事情。
Bhaktivinoda told him, this is not very good, you don't eat that which is not yet offered to Krishna.
然后 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 就告诉他说你这样做不好你吃这个芒果还没有供奉给主呢你就吃了这样不好。
Bhaktisiddhanta, as a 3-year-old boy, took a vow. I'm an offender. For the rest of my life, I will not eat mango.
那么那个时候 Bhaktisiddhanta 才三岁大，他知道了之，他的父亲这样说他之后，他就发下了一个誓言：从现在开始，我余生再也不吃芒果了。
Even in his adult life as a great acharya, when people would offer mango,He would say the same thing. I cannot accept, I'm an offender.
即便他长大成人他成了一位伟大的 Acharya 那么当人们把芒果供奉给他的时候他依然那么说我是一个冒犯者我不吃芒果我再也不吃芒果。
This gives you an idea of the strength of his mind and his vows.
那么这段故事呢就能够向我们告诉了我们他的心意的力量是多么的强大他对他的誓言是非常的一言既出驷马难追的。
When Bhaktisiddhanta was just 7 years old, his father gave him this deity, a deity of Kurma.
在 Bhaktisiddhanta 七岁大的时候他的父亲 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 送给他了这一尊神像 Kurma 神像。
Worship of Kurma has the spiritual benefit of stability.
那么崇拜 Kurma 神像一个人得到这样的益处他就会变得非常的坚定不移很稳定。
This was the wish of his father for his son.
这是他的父亲巴提莫塔库对他的希望。
When he was just 7 years old, think of a young boy who's 7 years old, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita, all the verses.
大家想一想，一个孩子七岁大的一个小男孩，他在七岁大的时候就能够记住整部《博伽梵歌》倒背如流。
But he could not only recite the verse, he could give a 10-minute explanation of any verse in the entire Bhagavad Gita.
他不仅仅能够记住《博伽梵歌》的每个诗节，而且他能够对《博伽梵歌》的每一个诗节都能够连续阐释十分钟。
Try it sometime when there's some small child that has memorized verses and they recite the verse. Ask them the meaning and they'll say, I don't know.
我们可以试一下，当一个七岁大的孩子，他能够记住博伽梵歌的诗节，但是如果你要问他的时候是什么意思，他会说，哦，我不知道，我不知道是什么意思。
When Bhaktisiddhanta was 13,His father gave him japa beads.
当 Bhaktisiddhanta 13岁大的时候，他的父亲给了他 japa 念珠。
He gave him maha mantra.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur 给了他 maha mantra.
And he gave him an Nrisingha mantra.
与此同时也给了他 Nrisingha mantra.
Now this was not formal diksha, because according to Vedic etiquette, the father of a son does not give mantra.
那么实际上这并不是 Diksha, 并不是 Bhakti Mota Ku 给予了他儿子启迪 Diksha。按照 Vaishnava 礼仪，一般来说父亲是不会给予儿子启迪的。
But it was to assist his son in making further spiritual progress.
但是呢，这样做能够帮助他的儿子在灵性上取得进步。
When he was in high school,He formed an organization with some friends.
当他在读高中的时候，他和他的朋友就组建了一个组织。
The organization was to remain eternally or remain lifelong brahmacharis.
而这个组织他们的宗旨呢是要成为终生的 brahmachar 终守生。
He's the only one that lasted.
但是最后呢，他是唯一一个能够做到终身遵守的人。
As it got close to his graduation, he decided he didn't want to complete school.
那么在他毕业前夕，他决定不想毕业，他决定辍学。
His reasoning was,In India, when a young boy completes school, it's expected next get a job, next get married. He didn't want to get married.
因为在印度，通常人们会是这样的一个理念：当一个小男孩他逐渐完成了他所有的学业之后，毕业之后，接下来他就是要找到一份合适的工作，并且成家立业，结婚生子。
Instead, he took up the service of being the librarian for the king of Tripura.
但是他不想结婚，而是他成为了当时的特里普拉邦君王的图书管理员。
And he read all the books in the king's library.
他在这个国王的图书馆里阅读了图书馆里所有的藏书。
Bhaktisiddhanta was gifted with a very unique memory. If he read something even once, he would remember it word for word for the rest of his life.
那么 Bhaktisiddhanta 他天生就有这样的一个独特的记忆力超强的能力，他能够过眼不忘，只要读了一遍，他终身难忘。
Later in his life, when he would write articles,For the contemporary audience, he would make reference to European authors, Chaucer, and this one and that one, and word for word recite what was in the book he read so many years ago.
那么在他后来著作的这个生涯当中啊，他写了很多的著作，他引述了他在先前在这个图书馆里所阅读到的欧洲作家等等哲学家，并且能够逐字逐句的一一的引述这些作家的话语。
Needless to say, the king was very indebted to Bhaktisiddhanta and became an ardent admirer of him throughout his life.
那么这位国王呢，他感到自己特别的感激亏欠 Bhaktisiddhanta， 并且他倾其一生后来都特别的热衷于 Bhaktisiddhanta， 非常的敬仰他。
Naturally, Bhaktisiddhanta was a great scholar, and so he had interest in writing.
Bhaktisiddhanta 天生就是一名杰出的作家，所以他自然而然特别热衷于研习书籍。
During his life as a young man, he became the world's most renowned scholar in astronomy and astrology.
在他年轻的时候，他就是举世闻名的天文学家和占星家。
That's when he was given the title Saraswati, because of his vast learning in that field of knowledge.
正是因为如此，所以他拥有了 Saraswati 这个头衔，是因为他在天文学和占星学的杰出的才能。
But he gave it up because it's worldly, and he was interested in otherworldly or transcendental teachings.
但是呢，他把这些都一的放弃了，因为他认为这些头衔、这些名号都是物质的领域的，他更加的感兴趣的是超然领域的信息。
He wrote many essays on particular topics. He wrote commentaries on different scriptures.
他对不同的话题进行了评注，并且他对不同的话题写了许多的论文，对不同的经典做了评注。
One of our BBT publications is his writing.
我们 BBT 里面就发行了Bhaktisiddhanta 著作的一本书。
Those of you that know the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are aware that he found a copy of Brahma Samhita in the course of his travels in South India.
大家都知道，主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他在南印度旅行的时候，他发现了 Brahma Samhita 的一个副本。
He had a hand copy made. He brought it with him back to Puri, and copies were given to his intimate associates.
得到了这个手抄本，然后将这本 Brahma Samhita 的手抄本带到了 Jagannath Puri， 并且去复制出来给予他的那些同游们。
The entire 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam was summarized in that little skinny book.
实际上这本小小的书籍当中就概述了整部《薄伽瓦坛》18,000个诗节的内容。
Jiva Goswami wrote a commentary of Brahma Samhita in Sanskrit. Bhaktivinod Thakur took the Sanskrit and made a Bengali version, and Bhaktisiddhanta made an English version of Bhaktivinod Thakur's version, which was the Bengali of the Sanskrit version of this book found by Lord Chaitanya.
那么主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他当时发现的这本 Brahma Samhita 是用梵文和孟加拉文分别呈现出来的，后来 Jiva Goswami 对这个梵文版的 Brahma Samhita 进行了评注，然后接下来 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 按照 Jiva Goswami 给出的梵文版的 Brahma Samhita 的评注，又把它翻译成了孟加拉文，然后 Bhaktisiddhanta 又按照 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 对 Brahma Samhita 的评注翻译成了英文版，请大家稍等哈。
As Surabhi knows, Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote a now unpublished full elaboration on that Brahma Samhita commentary.
那就像 Surabhi 知道的 ，Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj 对 Brahma Samhita 的评注啊，就是被发行出来。
I heard his seminar on that Brahma Samhita twice. I sat in the classroom and I became very inspired. And so I've given very, very detailed presentation on Brahma Samhita with absorption and meditation on Bhakti Siddhanta's gift for writing.
那么我曾经呢聆听了两遍 Tamal Krishna Goswami 对 Brahma Samhita 的进行的这个讲课，当时我就坐在他的课堂上。后来呢，我聆听，后来我也对 Brahma Samhita 给做了一个系列的课程，使我完全的沉浸在 Bhaktisiddhanta 对这部著作的评注当中。
One day, Krishna permitting, I'll also write something on the entire Brahma Samhita.
Yeah.终有一天，如果 Krishna 允许的话，我也会对整部这个 Brahma Samhita 来加以撰注。
Another book that Bhaktisiddhanta wrote was a verse by verse commentary on the entire Uddhava Gita.
那么 Bhaktisiddhanta 另一个著作呢，它就是对
the entire verse by verse.Commentary on Uddhava.
Uddhava Gita. 那么 Bhaktisiddhanta 的另一部非常著名的著作就是他逐每一个师节每一个师节的去评注了 Uddhava Gita.
You all know Bhagavad Gita.
你们大家都知道 Bhagavad Gita.
That's Krishna speaking to Arjuna.
就是 Bhagavad Gita 是 Krishna 对 Arjuna 讲述的。
Bhaktisiddhanta wrote commentary on Bhagavad Gita, but he also wrote commentary on Uddhava Gita, Krishna speaking in detail to Uddhava.
Bhaktisiddhanta 对 Bhagavad Gita 博迦梵歌也写了评注。那么 Bhaktisiddhanta 也对 Uddhava Gita 也写了评注。Uddhava Gita 实际上是 Krishna 非常详细的向 Uddhava 进行的讲述。
There's nearly 20 chapters and it's going to take over a year to complete the whole Uddhava Gita.
那这个 Uddhava Gita 一共有20章，要整整花一年的时间来完成阅读这一章，这20章。
And those are just two of Bhaktisiddhanta's writings.
这两部著作就是 Bhaktisiddhanta 的著作。
He was a revolutionary in terms of applying the teachings of Rupa Goswami to practical life.
那 Bhaktisiddhanta 他是在运用把 Rupa Goswami 的教导运用到生活实际以实际的方式运用到生活当中的一名著名的改革家。
One of the teachings of Rupa Goswami is.The highest standard of detachment or renunciation is to utilize everything in Krishna's service.
Rupa Goswami 的一个非常杰出的教导就是将气绝 气绝的最高的境界就是把一切全都用来对 Krishna 的服务当中。
During his lifetime, printing presses and automobiles were becoming new to the world.
在 Bhaktisiddhanta 的那个年代，那个时候印刷社还有汽车都是非常新鲜的事物，在世界上是非常新鲜的事物。
Now, tradition said sannyasis don't ride in conveyances, they don't wear shoes, they walk in their bare feet to go from one place to another place. That's how sannyasis are supposed to live.
那么传统意义上来说，一位 sannyasi 他们不会乘任何的交通工具，他们甚至不会穿着鞋，而是赤脚从一个地方行走到另一个地方，这样去旅行。这是传统意义上sannyasi 是这么做的。
However, Rupa Goswami said, no. Complete renunciation is to utilize automobiles and typewriters and printing presses and microphones and computers and Zoom in Krishna service.
但是 Rupa Goswami 说不，那么这个更高的这种七觉的境界，最高的一种七觉的境界，就是把一切全都用来服务于 Krishna， 把汽车、把印刷社、把打字机、把电脑、把高科技、把 Zoom 全都用来服务于 Krishna。
Now one should do those things without attachment to finding happiness in those things。
当一个人这么去做的时候，他应该带着一种不执着、不依恋这个从把这一切用不执着、不依恋把这一切用来服务的过程当中所获得的快乐。
But the spirit of using these things in service to Krishna is the essence.
而用把这一切用来服务于 Krishna 的这种精神是这种服务的精神是精髓。
During Bhaktisiddhanta's time, cars were really rare.
在 Bhaktisiddhanta 的那个年代，汽车是非常罕见之物。
What to speak of a car that had a convertible top or collapsible top, and there he is riding in a convertible, waving to people as he's going along, smiling. Use everything in Krishna's service.
那更不用说了，有这样的一个豪华的敞篷车，这个敞篷呢是折叠式的。那么当人们坐着这个敞篷豪华轿车的时候，一边开着，一边向周围的人挥手示意。那么但是 Rupa Goswami 的教导是用把一切都用来服务于 Krishna， 把这个敞篷车也要用来服务于 Krishna。
Sometimes he would keep very nice furniture to accommodate aristocratic people so that they would feel comfortable. This is a fancy piece of furniture in his reception room。
有的时候 Bhaktisiddhanta 他也会去用那些豪华的家具用来接待那些出身贵族的客人们。我们在这里可以看到 Bhaktisiddhanta 坐在一个非常华丽的座椅上。
Normally his dress was like this, very simple.
通常情况下 Bhaktisiddhanta 着装特别的简单，就像这张图片里所看到的。
But on his lap,there's scripture.
但是我们可以看到他的大腿上放着一本经典。
On some occasions, he would even dress very fancy.
在一些场合当中 ,Bhaktisiddhanta 穿着特别的华丽。
Again, without attachment, but for the purpose of making a warm human connection with the different people who he was interacting with.
实际上呢，他是带着一种毫不执着的心态去这么做的。这样做呢，实际上是为了给那个 跟各种各样的人去跟他们打交道，去接触到他们，所以他才这样去着装。
One of his favorite places was in Jagannath Puri.
Bhaktisiddhanta 特别喜欢的一个地方就是 Jagannath Puri.
It's a, again, see the Bhagavatam is on his lap and he's looking outside the window is Jagannath Puri and he's enjoying that place as a place where he would do much of his writing.
我们在这张图片上可以看到 Bhaktisiddhanta他的腿上放着圣典博迦瓦坛，从窗户望去，那是 Jagannath Puri 的这个外面的景象。Bhaktisiddhanta 他在这里待得特别的啊，内心特别的愉快，他在这里能够沉浸于写作之中。
That place was very near Chataparvat, the mountain that Lord Chaitanya, or the sand dune that Lord Chaitanya thought was Govardhan Hill.
那在这个地方的附近呢，就是 Chataparvat。那这个地方呢，主切坦尼马哈帕普曾经在这个地方把一个小土包看成了是勾瓦丹山。
That's the mood of this place. It's Krishna in Vrindavan, and that's exactly what Bhaktisiddhanta wanted.
而这个地方呢，正是 Vrindavan。他在这个地方呈现了 Vrindavan 的这种心态，这就是为什么 Bhaktisiddhanta 特别特别喜爱所钟爱这个地方的原因。
On the instruction of his father and Gorkishore, his guru, he accepted the order of sannyas and started a spiritual movement.
在他的父亲Bhaktivinoda Thakur 还有他的灵性导师 Gorkishore Das Babaji 的命令之下，他开始发起了我这个灵性的运动。
In one celebrated event in this year 1933, he spent 1 month in one city and spoke on one verse every day.
在他的生涯当中，有一段非常著名的经历，那就是在1933年1月的时候。他在达卡这个地方连续度过了一个月的时间。
His teaching was, there's volumes and volumes and volumes of meaning in each verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he proved it.
他在这一个月当中连续的去讲述了圣典博迦瓦坛，大篇幅的去阐释了圣典博迦瓦坛的诗节。
Just 2 months later,was the much anticipated very large volume about the life and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
那么就在当时的两个月之后，一本非常厚重的一本著作啊被发行出来了。这是关于 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的著作。
There was a disciple who was known as Professor Sanyal who wrote this entire book.Under the direction of Bhaktisiddhanta.
Bhaktisiddhanta 有一个门徒，他的这个门徒的名字叫 Sanyal 教授。Sanyal 教授在 Bhaktisiddhanta 的命令之下，撰著了这整部书籍，关于 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的这个厚厚的书籍。
It's a very scholarly presentation.
这本厚厚的书籍非常的富有学术性。
It was in English, and it was intended for the sannyasis who were going to London to establish Krishna consciousness in London.
那么这本著作里面呢，就讲到了 Bhaktisiddhanta 派他的 sannyasi 门徒去到伦敦去传播。
On this date, Bhaktisiddhanta gave a wonderful lecture.Referring to this book and sent his sannyasis to London.
那么就在那一天呢 ,Bhaktisiddhanta 讲述了这本书籍并且派了一名 sannyasi 去到伦敦在那里去建立中心。
And that same year, they went and they established a small center in downtown London.
那就在那同一年他们去到了伦敦并且在伦敦建立起了一个小小的中心。
However, they didn't make much progress and they came back to Calcutta.
但是他们在那里的并没有取得很多的进展，最终又返回到了加格达。
Meanwhile, Bhaktisiddhanta was very vigorously pushing forward the congregational chanting of the holy name.
与此同时 ,Bhaktisiddhanta 特别渴望地去推动齐颂圣名运动。
You see Bhaktisiddhanta standing there, very tall, in the middle of the photograph.
我们在这张图片上可以看到在最前列一行最中间站着的是 Bhaktisiddhanta, 他个子挺拔非常高大。
The Sankirtan party was going through the streets of Navadvip to enliven everyone to chant the holy name.
Sankirtan 的队伍他们走在 Navadvip 的大街小巷当穿行于 Navadvip 的大街小巷去激励人们去唱诵主的圣名。
The local Brahmanas, Smarta Brahmanas in particular,were very disturbed.
但是当地尤其是当地的世袭婆罗门们对此感到特别的内心感到不安。
They hired some criminal thugs to use sticks and stones and other weapons and harm Bhaktisiddhanta so he would stop. Physically harm him.
这些世袭当地的世袭婆罗门他们雇佣了当地的这个土匪流氓甚至那些犯罪分子去袭击这个 Sankirtan 队伍尤其他们想要袭击 Bhaktisiddhanta 于是 Bhaktisiddhanta 停止了
When the devotees pictured here understood that this was a risk of Bhaktisiddhanta's lifeThey made a very tricky arrangement.
那么其中有一位奉献者他亲场看到了这一幕于是呢他想到了这对于 Bhaktisiddhanta 来说是十分危险的威胁到他的生命安全于是他们做了一个非常巧妙的一个计划。
One of the householders,changed clothes with Bhaktisiddhanta and he went away wearing household clothing. He was sick.
Yes. 那么其中的一位居士呢在这个 Sankirtan 队伍当中的一位居士他换上了 Bhaktisiddhanta 的气绝服装然后请 Bhaktisiddhanta 穿着这位居士的服装从这个现场逃走走开了。
The next dayThis attack on the Sankirtan party was all over the news.
那么第二天所有的地方都了解到了 Sankirtan 他们遭到了袭击这个讯息。
The police arrested the people who were involved in this mischief.
然后当地的警察逮捕了袭击他们的这些流氓分子。
When they asked Bhaktisiddhanta, did he want to press legal charges, he said no.
那么当警察询问 Bhaktisiddhanta 是否要通过合法的这个法律程序来起诉这些流氓分子呢 ?Bhaktisiddhanta 说不。
Even one who is an aggressor can be forgiven.
他说甚至每一个这个攻击者侵袭者都可以被原谅。
He said, actually, they've done a great service to Lord Chaitanya because we never would have gotten press coverage like this.
Bhaktisiddhanta, 他反而这样说到了，他们甚至协助了这些流氓分子，甚至协助了主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的齐颂圣名运动，因为在此之前，这个关于圣名的念诵从来没有像这样被传开来。
Please read.
Yes. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 揭示出 Hari Katha 是 Hari Nama 的 Svarupa Shakti 就像不要单独崇拜 Krishna 一个人而是要连同他的 Svarupa Shakti Sri Radha 一起予以崇拜同样除非伴随着有聆听 Hari Katha 不然吟诵 Hari Nam 既不完整也不正确。
Bhakti Siddhanta often spoke about the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Bhakti Siddhanta 经常谈论到了 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的齐颂圣名运动。
But his main gift was not in singing, but Hari Katha.
但是他说到了那个主要的 并非就是只是主要的内容并非只是唱诵圣名，而且还应该有 Hari Katha 谈论主的话题。
However, these two actually go perfectly together, just like Radha and Krishna go perfectly together.
这两者是要完美的结合在一起，就像是 Radha Krishna 他们总是形影不离，一起崇拜他们。
Kirtan without Hari Katha is incomplete.
如果没有 Hari Katha, Kirtan 是不完整的。
Now here's a commentary by Bhakti Siddhanta from Chaitanya Bhagavat.
这是 Bhakti Siddhanta 对 Chaitanya Bhagavata 的一段评述。Pallada 的品格在圣典博迦瓦坛第七篇有描述， Dhruva 的品格在圣典博迦瓦坛第四篇有描述。Sri Gadadhar Pandit Goswami 是圣典博迦瓦坛的讲述者， Sri Gaurasundar 是聆听者，他数百次专注地聆听了 Sri Gadadhar 讲述 Pallad 和 Dhruva 培养奉爱服务的话题。
In the painting we see Gadadhar Pandit dressed in that yellow cloth reciting Srimad Bhagavatam.
我们在这个图片里面可以看到 Gadadhar 穿着是黄色的外衣在那里讲述圣典博迦瓦坛。
We see Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda hearing from him.
我们可以看到图片当中的主 Chaitanya 和主 Nityananda 在聆听 Sri Gadadhar Pandit 讲述圣典博迦瓦坛。
Bhakti Siddhanta did similarly. He was regularly again and again and againrecite the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam for the benefit of all the devotees and for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya.
同样的 Bhakti Siddhanta 他一次又一次的去精精的讲述圣典博迦瓦坛，为了造福于奉献者们，为了去荣耀传递主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的讯息。
I'm going to end with a little explanationof a few teachings from Bhakti Siddhanta about dealing with difficulty or obstacles on the path of bhakti.
在结束的时候，我现在来稍稍地讲解一下 Bhakti Siddhanta 对于一个人遇到困难的时候，应该带着什么样的心态去面临，去迎接这样的困难。
Go ahead.
神是一切的庇护所，他给那些渴望脱贫于他的人设置许多障碍与不便，为的是考验他们的热情与稳定。
I'm going to focus a little bit on this small portion of Bhakti Siddhanta's teachings because we all confront difficulties in our lives.
我现在呢想专注的特别的来讲解一下 Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur 对这一段描对他的这段描述的讲解，因为我们每个人在生活当中都会面临困难或挑战。
There's a tendency to think because I'm now become a devotee problems should just disappear and I have a problem free life, but it's not the way it is.
那么通常有这样的一种倾向，奉献者会有这样的一种倾向，他会想啊、哦，我现在是奉献者了，那么问题从此以后我不会再遭遇什么问题了。
And this quote here is one such explanation.
而在这里 Bhakti Siddhanta 引述的 Bhakti Siddhanta 的话语对此进行了讲解。
I'm going to read a few more that are along the same line.
我准备来关于这类似的引述啊，我现在来阅读几段类似的引述。
Those favored by God find their paths set by thorns.
那些被主所钟爱的人发现自己的道路上布满了荆棘。
Here's another one.
还有另外一段引述。
There is no peace or happiness in worldly life.
在世俗的生活当中没有真正的平和和快乐。
Circumstances create turmoil and annoyance.
各种各样的情况会给人们带来各种各样的动荡和起伏。
Here's another.
还有另外一段引述。
Be indifferent to worldly gossip.
啊，我们对那些世俗的啊这个闲言碎语应该是漠不关心。
Stick firmly to your cherished goals.
我们要非常坚定不移的对我们的夙愿，我们的目标，应该坚定不移的执着于我们的目标。
No shortcomings or obstacles of the world will ever stand in your way.
让这个世界上的各种各样的缺点或者是困难不会阻碍你前进的道路。
Here's another.
这里有另外一段引述。
A devotee feels the presence of Krishna everywhere.
奉献者他们感受到 Krishna 无处不在。
But one averse to Krishna denies his existence everywhere.
但是那些厌憎主或者是否定主的人，他们不承认，他们不相信主是他们认为主不在任何地方。
I'll send this to Surabhi and she can translate into Chinese so you have a copy. That these are really valuable, resources to hold on to when you're having a problem.
我呢会把这些引述发给 Surabhi, 然后 Surabhi 把它翻译成中文然后发给大家。因为这些教导是非常非常的宝贵的。尤其是当我们面临困难和这个障碍各种障碍的时候对我们有着极大的帮助。
There's several sentences, a whole paragraph where Bhaktisiddhanta is explaining that Krishna's punishment is to teach us.
那么在 Bhaktisiddhanta 的这整个段落当中有一句话说到了 Krishna 的惩罚是实际上是给予我们教导。
Just like a loving father may admonish or scold his child.
就像是慈父他会去批评自己的孩子一样。
The purpose of a loving father is not mean-spirited, it's to lift his son or dependent.
那么一个充满爱心的父亲他实际上不会去打击他的儿子而是希望他的儿子能够去改善自己能够得到提升。
Similarly, when difficulties come our way, it's an act of kindness from Krishna to teach us.
那么同样的在我们的生活当中遇到一些困难或者是障碍的时候实际上是 Krishna 向我们展示他的仁慈他来教导我们来改善我们。
He writes, we have to see dangers or misfortune in that way. It's the affectionate hand of Krishna wanting to lift us.
Bhaktisiddhanta 是这样写到的，我们应该把我们生活当中的这些困难和这些困难视作是 Krishna 的仁慈。Krishna 通过这种方式展示他的仁慈来提升我们。
You will have a peaceful life.If you make your business to improve yourself, not fault find with others.
如果你一生当中总是非常的 去专注于如何提升自己，而不是挑别人的毛病，那么你的内心会始终是平和的。
And here's the last one for this evening.
这现在为今天晚上的课程结束之前，我再引述另一段他的话语。
When faults in others disturb you, introspect, look within.
当别人的错误给你造成了打扰的时候，在这种情况下，我们应该尤其特别去内省，去自省。
Find fault with yourself.
我们应该挑自己的毛病。
No one can hurt you unless you hurt yourself.
没人能够伤害你，除非你自己伤害自己。
Now, these are practical teachings of how to deal with negative emotions and negative events in our life and become lifted instead of beaten.
这些都是非常实际的教导，教导我们如何去面对我们在我们的内心的那些负面的情感，去面对在我们的生活当中所发生的一些消极的事情或者是负面的事情，我们应该教导我们应该带着怎样的心态去面对这些事情，从而得到提升。Sorry, go ahead, please.
Bhaktisiddhanta was very compassionate.
Bhaktisiddhanta 非常的充满怜悯之情。
From the look of the image on his face, he looks very stern.
我们从这张图片的 Bhaktisiddhanta 的面部表情可以看到他非常的严肃。
But he was very compassionate.
但是他的内心是非常怜悯的。
He knew very well that people struggle and suffer and have turmoil in their lives.
他非常清楚世界上的人们他们在苦苦的挣扎，他们面临着各种困难和各种动荡的情况。
And he wanted to give relief from that unnecessary suffering.
而且 Bhaktisiddhanta 他希望帮助人们从这种不必要的动荡和这种打扰当中超脱出来。
So he gave repeated instructions in this regard, and it would benefit each of you to understand those instructions and live by them.
所以他一次又一次的给出这类似的教导，实际上是为了让我们从中受到裨益，从而提升自我。
In a few days, you'll have a little ceremony wherever you are there in China, and you'll be honoring Bhaktisiddhanta's appearance day. This is a little preview so you can meditate upon him before that day.
那么再过两天呢，就是 Bhaktisiddhanta 的他的显现日，在中国的任何的地方的奉献者们会在那一天呢去荣耀 Bhaktisiddhanta。那今天的这次讲课呢，就是我们为那一天庆祝他的显现日的一个序幕。
So we have a little time for some questions and discussion.
我们现在还有一点时间给大家提问。Yes, good night. I already have two questions.
Go ahead.
Yes. 顶拜 Maharaj, 顶拜翻译主持，经典上说，这个年代的唯一祭祀就是齐诵圣名。可是我们看到很多奉献者还在做各种火祭，甚至 Bhaktisiddhanta 本人都做火祭，其目的何在？我们到底该不该做呢？还是必须做？因为有人特别提倡这些祭祀，不愿意做的人往往遭到鄙视。Hare Krishna. I offer my obeisances to Maharaj and to the host. So the scripture said in this way, in this Kali Yuga, the congregational chanting of the holy name is the only yagya. But we notice that many devotees, they perform all kinds of fire yagya. Even Bhaktisiddhanta personally performed fire yagya. So what's the purpose of performing fire yagya? we should do or should not do, or we must do, because there's sometimes some people especially recommend to perform those yagya. And those people who are not willing to do so, to perform those fire yagya, sometimes they were looked upon by others, looked down upon by others.
Is there a controversy in China about fire yagyas? Is that what's happening here? Translate my question.
Controversy?
Controversy. Is there some dispute?
Yes. 那么在中国做这个祭祀，各种祭祀是不是一件受到争议的事情呢？这是 Maharaj 要问的一个问题。
Fire yagyas and other kinds of rituals all have their place in bhakti. The essence is not the yagya, the essence is the chanting.
那么火祭或者是各种其他的这种仪式的祭祀在 bhakti 当中都有提到，但是做这种各种各样的祭祀的精髓是唱诵圣名，这是精髓。Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Okay. Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Sure, I can hear you.
Did you hear what I spoke, or that was cut off?
Cut off. It seemed cut off.
Okay, I'll start again. I think that we lost the Wi-Fi signal. Now it's back on.
Oh.
Okay, so. Their auspiciousness is created by yagyas and other rituals, but the essence is not the yagya or the ritual. The essence is the chanting of the holy name.
那么从举行各种祭祀或者是各种仪式能够营造一种吉祥的氛围，但是这个精髓的部分并不是在仪式或火祭或祭祀本身，精髓的部分是在于唱诵圣名。
I'll give an example.
我来给你举个例子。
When it came to the installation of Krishna Balaram and Radha Shyamasundara in Vrindavan, there was a three-day ritual right in the temple room of Vrindavan.
那么当年呢，在 Vrindavan 的 Krishna Balarama 庙宇，在那就是建立了 Krishna Balarama 庙宇的，当时的时候为了庆祝这一活动，那么他们举行了三天的这种仪式，就在 Krishna Balarama 庙宇的这个大厅那个地方举行了三天的仪式祭祀。
Many of you may have experienced the three-day yagya for the installation of Panchatattva in Mayapur.
并且呢，我们后来可以看到有很多人，你们见证到了在 Mayapur 去树立Panchatattva 神像的时候，也举行了三天的仪式。
And so forth. There's so many rituals, fire yagyas and other rituals that we do.Because it's enjoined for Vaishnavas to do. So if the question is it bona fide? Yes. If you don't do it, is it okay? Yes. Just to chant the holy name, if you like that.
所以呢，在我们的这个 Vaishnava 的活动当中，会有这样的各种这样的这种火祭的进行，或者是其他的一些仪式的施行。这也是奉献者们，他们是按照经典的训示去从事这些活动。那么这些活动呢，都是正宗的，都是经典里所训示的。那么你不做呢也可以，我们唱诵 Hare Krishna， 这也非常的好。
Just like that photograph of the automobile that you saw, or the printing press, or Zoom, you know, all these things have their place in service to Krishna. So does fire yogis, so don't worry.
那么就像我们在今天的课程当中有一张图片展示的是豪华的敞篷轿车。那么所有的一切呢都可以用来服务于 Krishna。那个豪华的敞篷轿车可以用来服务于 Krishna， Zoom 也可以用来服务于 Krishna， 每一项事物都在 Krishna 的服务当中有它的用处。所以我们那么同样的火计在奉爱服务当中也有它的施行，会用到对 Krishna 的服务当中。
Next.
Yes, good night.Rajendra Prabhu, the last question doesn't indicate who raised the question, just Das raised the question, the last question raised by Das. And this question raised by Rajendra Prabhu. 阅读 Bhaktisiddhanta 写的书籍或者 Bhaktinotaku 写的书籍需要什么资格吗？ So Rajendra Prabhu asked that to read,the book written by Bhaktisiddhanta or written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and does one need any qualification? Or what kind of qualification one should have?
Well, Prabhupada authorized Brahma Samhita. It's printed by the BBT with Prabhupada's approval.
那么Śrīla Prabhupāda他同意或者已经授权去由 PPT 印刷出 Brahma Samhita 带有药纸的 Bhaktisiddhanta 的药纸的 Brahma Samhita， 这是Prabhupāda所允许的和认可的和授权的。
So you can read that at your leisure, just have a dictionary.
那么呢你可以阅读 Brahma Samhita，就是 Bhaktisiddhanta 的药指的 Brahma Samhita， 但是呢在阅读的时候你一定要把这个字典放在你手边。
And the other writings I would recommend two things.
关于其他的一些著作呢，我在这里会提出两点建议，两点。
First is become well readIn Śrīla Prabhupāda's writings, especially the devotional texts.
那么第一点呢就是我们要非常好的用心的去阅读 Śrīla Prabhupāda 的这些书籍，尤其是 Śrīla Prabhupāda， 尤其是 Prabhupāda 写的这些书籍。
Do that thoroughly before you start reading other things.
在阅读其他奉献者写的书籍之前，其他的著作之前，首先好好的去阅读 Śrīla Prabhupāda 的书籍。
And second is get the blessings of your spiritual master before you dive into other writings.
那么在你去潜心阅读，潜入到阅读其他的奉爱书籍之前，要获得你的灵性导师的祝福。
Next.
Yes, Gumaraj. Next question from Jamuna Tira Mataji. Yeah. 感恩 Guru Maharaj 的教导，深深的顶拜 Guru Maharaj. Gumaraj, sorry. Jamuna Tira Mataji just to express her gratitude to you. Thank you, Guru Maharaj's teaching, and I deeply offer my obeisances to Guru Maharaj. And Panchakatva also express her thanks for you. Thank you so much for your mercy, dear Maharaj. And the next question from Janaka Prabhu. 顶拜 Guru Maharaj, 顶拜翻译和主持人。请问 Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur 是一位大学者，他是怎样培养出坚定的信心皈依一位文盲呢？So Janaka Prabhu first offer his obeisances to Guru Maharaj and the host and translator. So my question is that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is a great scholar. So how did he cultivate such a firm faith or determination to surrender are a devotee who was illicit. Yeah, no.
Illiterate.
Yeah, illiterate, yes.
Well, two things.
两点。
While it's said that Gaurkishore Das Babaji was illiterate, does not mean that he didn't know the conclusion of the scriptures. He wasn't a literary type of person, but he knew the conclusions from his heart. He knew the conclusions of all the scriptures.
那么首先有两点，虽然表面上 Gaurkishore Das Babaji 是一名文盲或者是不识字，但是他的内心是对这个文献的，就是超然知识的文献的结论是了解的一清二楚的。
Gaurkishore Das Babaji was a Babaji, but he would sit at the feet of Bhaktivinod, who was a householder with 10 children, and hear from him day and night with great faith.
虽然 Bhakti, 虽然 Gaurkishore Das Babaji, 他是一名 Babaji, 但是呢他非常的敬仰 Bhaktivinod Thakur 这位居士。Bhaktivinod Thakur 当时是拥有十个孩子的居士，并且他用心的去聆听 Bhaktivinod Thakur 的讲解讲课。
That gives you some idea of his scriptural qualification. I'm just addressing the word illiterate. He was considered illiterate because he wasn't a literary person. All of this was just to explain that one word.
我之所以讲这个呢，实际上就是来说明，就是你在这里提出来的一点，他皈依了一名文盲。那么虽然 Gaurkishore Das Babaji 他虽然不识字，但是我在这里可以通过讲述上面的两点来告诉你，他对这些结论是一清二楚的。他虽然是一名文盲啊，不识字。
And the second reason is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommended to his son to take shelter mantra diksha from Gaurkishore.
还有第二个原因，那就是因为他的父亲 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 极力的推荐他啊，就是忠告他去向 Gaurkishore Das Babaji 皈依，从他那里获得 mantra diksha， 从他那里获得曼陀罗的启迪。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. That's a good marriage.
Next.
So far, it seems no more question. But please let me ask Hare Kantama that you or Janaka Prabhu. Janaka Prabhu, 请问在这个企业微信那边奉献者有问题吗？
那边没有。
那 Hare Kantama 姐姐，请问你那边有没有收到奉献者给你发出来的问题？Good marriage. I remember that last time, maybe there are some questions left related to Govardhan Parikram.
We have 7 minutes. You can go ahead and ask those questions. Explain to them what you're doing.
Yes, good marriage. 那现在如果没有其他的问题的话，那我刚刚想起来了。在 Guru Maharaj 讲前面的 Govardhan Parikram 绕拜 Govardhan 山的逍遥时光的时候，有几个问题遗留下来了，还没有得到回答，所以我们现在对上一次遗留下来的问题呈现给 Guru Maharaj， 请他来回答这些问题。Yes, Guru Maharaj, please allow me 1 minute to check this question in my WeChat.
Okay.
Yes.
85.
Yeah. Because, oh yeah, I got it. Go ahead. So this question from Rajendra Prabhu. Yeah, Rajendra Prabhu asked that. 据说 Rajendra Prabhu 在前两节课提了这样的一个问题，据说在果瓦丹山崇拜那天不崇拜的话必遭蛇咬。刚才听到毒蛇来到果瓦丹山失去了毒性啊，是没有被毒性的蛇咬是吗？ So good night, when you glorified Govardhan pastimes, so in one place you mentioned that in Govardhan, sometimes the poison snakes go to the special area of Govardhan where have the sandalwood.
Where is what? Sandalwood.
Yeah, sandalwood yeah. Tree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the poison snake go there, they, the poison naturally counteracted. So, in the scripture, Rajendra said that, it said that on Govardhan Puja, if someone doesn't worship Govardhan, so that person will be beaten by the snakes. So, so he would like to know such a person will be beaten by the snake without a poison. It's like that because
Rajendra, your question is very humorous.
Rajendra, 你提的这个问题太幽默，太搞笑了，太幽默了。
You have an excellent sense of humor.
你真的是有非常非常棒的这种幽默感，杰出的幽默感。
I'll give a humorous reply.
那我呢，就给你一个非常充满幽默的一个回答。
You better not miss Govardhan Puja because you might get bitten by a snake that's poisonous, so watch out.
你啊，你最好是每一次高瓦丹山崇拜的高瓦丹扑下的时候崇拜高瓦丹山，要不然啊你就遭毒蛇咬嘞，所以你一定要小心哦。
But the good news is, I know that you'll never miss Govardhan Puja, so you don't have to worry.
但是呢，这里一个好消息，我知道你从来不会错过高瓦丹扑下的，所以呢，你永远不会遭蛇咬。
But if you're concerned about others, then encourage others to engage in Govardhan Puja.
如果你特别考虑的是其他人的话，那你就去激励其他人，一定每一次 Govardhan Puja 的时候要去崇拜 Govardhan 山。
Because we don't want to find out whether it'll be a poisonous or a non-poisonous snake that'll be bitten by.
因为我们不想去找出这个结果，到底那个人呢、啊、是被毒蛇咬了，还是被那些没有毒性的蛇咬了。
Next question.
Yes, right. The next question that this question also from Rajendra Prabhu. 如果在绕拜高瓦丹山时见到蓝牛。是吉祥的征兆，有这种说法吗？ So is there any statement like this? When one pilgrim does the Govardhan pilgrim, so and he see the blue cow, so this is a sign of auspiciousness?
I've never heard that, but it could be.
我从来没有听过有这种说法，但是可能会是一种吉祥的征兆。Go ahead, next question.
Please.
Yes, thank you. Huilika, 他说到了，为什么圣人都能成为勾皮参加 Rasa 之舞，而 Lakshmi Devi 却不能参加呢？ This question from Huilika Mataji. why those saint person they are able to become gopi and participate rasa dance. But what's the reason why Lakshmi Devi cannot, are not able to do so?
Very good question.
这是一个非常好的问题。
It has to do with the mood of spontaneous love that those who are qualified have, but Lakshmi has another mood, the mood of majesty.
嗯，那么对于那些有资格去参加 Krishna 的这个 Rasa 之舞的人们，这样的人他具有内心有一种自发的这种对 Krishna 的爱的这种心态，但是呢，但是 Lakshmi Devi 他内心的一种心态是一种这种敬畏和非常敬畏的一种心态，崇高敬畏的心态。
The method is Raganuga Bhakti.
那么在这里呈现的信息呢，就是 Raganuga Bhakti.
And Lakshmi had not taken up Raganuga Bhakti, so she couldn't enter.
而 Lakshmi Devi 呢，她没有去具备或者是接受这样的 Raganuga Bhakti, 所以呢他不能够参与到 Krishna 的 Rasa 之舞当中。
Rilekha, if you have that hankering and aspiration, now you know the method.
嗯，那么如果你特别的渴望寻找这样的一个解释的话，现在啊，这是这里通这里成立的这个信息。
And you'll find that method elaborated in Nectar of Devotion.
而且你可以对这一点在奉爱的甘露里面找到非常详细的解释。
And I'm looking at the clock and it says we're supposed to end now.
我现在看了看钟表，我们现在要停下来了，啊，课程结束了。
So we'll look forward to seeing you again Monday evening.
我们期待着下周一晚上再见。
And I believe I'm supposed to speak on Thursday morning also.
我想我在这个周四早上也会来有一次讲解。
Krishna in Vrindavan, Thursday morning.
周四早上的话题是在 Vrindavan 的 Krishna.
And we'll see you then, Hare Krishna.
我们周四见 ,Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj.For your wonderful lecture and explanation. 非常感谢大家的聆听。Hare Krishna.